Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We've been speaking about quite dire things, you know, price increases, feeling squeezed, notches on our belts, not being able to go much further. Let's speak about the credit market, seeing quarter-on-quarter growth, large quarter-on-quarter growth, with Andrew Fulton, director at 8020. Andrew, always good to have you on Kaya Biz. Thank you so much for your time this evening. What's happening when it comes to the credit market?
Yeah, it's always great to be on the show. Thanks for having me. As you mentioned, it's... We saw the biggest expansion in credit growth since COVID. The number of outstanding bank and retail loans grew by about 3.5% year on year. Most of this was in unsecured loans, which saw year on year growth about 6%. But yeah, quite an interesting thing. It seems that what's most likely happened is that lenders are sort of cautiously easing the credit lending criteria that's used for credit applications because of the relatively good news that was coming out in quarter two in terms of macroeconomic fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us an indication of if you think that would continue if people use that credit in a responsible manner and we see economic conditions easing in South Africa?
Yeah, absolutely, it should. But the downside is, you know, we saw overdue balances increase. We saw for the first time a growth in the number of loans in default. Mm. So we're going to be tracking that number, which if that continues, it could, you know, lead to the credit providers scaling back a little bit. But I mean, the challenge with this is, you know, we're always looking at quarter two, which is a couple months ago, and if you cast your mind back to that time period, you know, the rand had strengthened significantly because the U.S. dollar experienced its deepest mm-hmm. decline in about 50 years. Petrol prices fell. The consumer confidence recovered from its lowest point. Inflation was its lowest level since COVID. There was the fourth repo rate cut in a year. So there was relatively good news coming out. And that's probably got more to do with why those credit extensions were granted.
Mm. And when you speak about people having loans that were overdue, there's a profile of people who maybe are the most squeezed. Can you give us insight into that?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. So we've got our 80-20 national segmentation that divides South Africa into eight segments. You've got mm-hmm. poor segments, and then you've got four with means. So your mass market, your middle class, your heavy hitters, and your comfortable retirees. What we know about overdue debt is three-quarters of that is concentrated amongst three of the wealthiest segments, so the middle-class heavy hitters and comfortable retirees. The challenge is with heavy hitters and the comfortable retirees, they've got more money, they've got more assets, so they've got a little bit of a cushion. It's actually the middle class that are going to be squeezed quite hard.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is, you know, that overdue balance increased to about 215 billion rand, 22 billion rand annual increase, which is about 8.3% of the total outstanding debt. A lot of that in credit card and home loans. So what you're seeing is those with home loans are dipping into those mortgages in order to pay for perhaps tuition for their kids, perhaps clothing, perhaps having a little bit of a holiday, and then also people are using their credit cards to extend that line of credit in order to pay for food, clothing, and other sort of necessities.
Mm. Is it the cumulative effect of years, I mean, since COVID, of financial challenges, inflation, where people had assumed that they were able to qualify for certain products, such as home loans, such as car loans, credit cards, and getting increasingly squeezed as the years went on, salaries not keeping up with inflation, leading to the challenges that you're experiencing where people have to dip into, say, a home loan to pay for fees?
Yeah. I mean, what we did have, we had an incredibly low interest rate environment right post COVID. I mean, we had the lowest interest rates we've had ever. And I mean, you know, if my daughter came to me and said, should I buy a house? I'd say it's a great time to buy a house. The interest rates are so low. But then, you know, 10 to 12 significant increases from then, all of a sudden you've got yourself in a situation where you're paying, you know, several thousand rand more every month for that home loan if you took it out, or that car loan if you took it out, because they're fixed to the repo rate. So that was one of the squeezes, which certainly happened. But then you know, as you mentioned, we had an incredibly high inflation environment. It's only recently come down, and very stagnant salary growth. You know, the data we see says that, you know, at the top of incomes, you're still seeing significant salary growth. But for that sort of middle area and lower class, you know, some suggest that the salaries are back at sort of 2017, 2018 levels, which doesn't bode well.
Yeah, when we spoke in the beginning about the second quarter and the amount of credit that people are taking up, 740,000 new to credit individuals came into the market, right? Do we understand how? Because you can come into the market by opening an account at a retail store, buying a cell phone, buying a home, buying a car, credit card.
Yeah.
Do we understand how that's segmented?
We do. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally, it isn't buying a car or buying a house. I mean, that generally isn't your first credit product. Mm-hmm. What we also know about these sort of 750,000 people that are new to credit is they're quite young. You know, the reason they're new to credit is because they may be for the first time able to apply for credit. And as we know, you know, even the banks will strongly recommend you go out and get some retail credit in order to build up a credit record, credit rating, in order to build that to eventually get a home loan or house loan. I mean, we saw there was maybe a few thousand people that took out a home loan as their first credit product, but those are most likely more wealthier sort of immigrants to South Africa who came and are a bit more established. But yeah, I mean, generally it's those unsecured debts that are the common entry points to the credit market. Mm.
When it comes to those overdue balances, if you can go back to them with the amount of data that you have and that you look at and that you process, if you can see that if this trend continues, perhaps banks won't be so free with credit. What else is it saying about the health of the economy of South Africa and South Africans or people living in South Africa?
I mean, one of the interesting things we found out about the overdue balances is overdue balances have grown twice as fast as total balances. So that's you know, obviously an indicator that sure. things are going a little bit out of control. So, and in that, what we're also noticing is that while the value of overall loans is going up, the number of people in the credit market is not going up substantially. So what we're seeing is a lot of this debt is being concentrated in fewer and fewer people. So one, they can afford it. You know, they are these heavy hitters, these comfortable retirees who have assets and have big salaries. But the thing about credit is what it can do is it can put you sort of, you know, one paycheck away from the whole house of cards crumbling, you know, if you don't make payment on that house, that car, you know, those other debts you've got. It can be challenging. So, you know, you're believing, you've got faith in the future that you're going to keep your job and your salary is going to increase by at least inflation every year. If that doesn't happen, that's when things start tumbling.
Yes. And when it comes to the lenders, you had said that if this trend continues, you can see a pulling back. But why are they cautiously easing credit lending criteria? I know that you've touched on it, but surely there needs to be more time for trend to emerge, especially as a financial institution where you think, okay, we can relax here.
Yeah. I mean, and once again, this is a hypothesis. It's always challenging to know exactly what is happening, but it's quite likely that is what happened. But if you think about it, you know, sort of we have had, I mean, it's hard as South Africans because we maybe do like to moan a bit more than we should. We have had a relatively okay few quarters. In fact, like quarter three last year was extraordinarily positive. You know, as I mentioned, what happened in quarter two with the Rand, petrol prices, consumer confidence, it was relatively positive. So, you know, the lenders are in there to make money. They want to extend credit where they can. So I'm guessing they just decided this is the time to kind of open up the taps a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yes, you know, if these defaults continue, if this overdue balance continues to grow at such a pace, there will be a tightening of credit once again, and we'll see that in the numbers.
All right. So if we look at those numbers, I know you look from 2021 to 2025 even, and you can see, okay, how people have behaved when it comes to credit. But if we want to throw forward to the short, medium, and perhaps long term, what factors are going to impact how we access credit in South Africa, and how squeezed those consumers that you discussed who are squeezed may either get some reprieve or continue to be in that chokehold.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. I'm always very uncomfortable and asked to do sort of crystal ball looking. But I mean, one of the interesting things is our GDP grew by 0.8% in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. So that number came out after we released the report. Mm-hmm. That's not bad news. Government's upgraded its growth forecast to about 1.2% for the year. And what's interesting there, I mean, the UK is at 1.1 to 1.2% as well. You know, this isn't a South African issue. The United States is 1.4 to 2%. So that's the kind of growth rates we're expecting globally. But if we can maintain that, if we can kind of get a rein in on unemployment and we can kind of keep headline inflation down, that should bode well and we should be okay. But, you know, certainly if we look at the coming months, we're going to experience higher electricity prices. I mean, we've seen significant increase in meat and vegetable costs. Like, these are all going to chip into disposable income. So it is hard to tell. And, you know, with Trump in power in the United States, every day is a new day and a new forecast. And a new guess at what's next. So it is hard to kind of say long, short, or any other apologies.
Another day,
for that.
Another dollar. Yeah. Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, thank you so much for your time and insight. The next time I won't ask you to stare into a crystal ball, but always good to get your insights into credit and what's happening in the South African market. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me be on the show.
All right. And that's where we wrap it up for Kaya Biz this evening. At the top of the hour, Govan Whittles is standing by. Remember, you can tweet us any thoughts you have. Tell us maybe who you want on the show tomorrow. At Kaya on Air is our handle, using the hashtag Kaya Biz. Govan's got an explosive show, it sounds like, tonight. Remember, you can call him 086-000-00959. That's where I leave it for now. Good evening.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.